Metal Thrones fans around the world, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Out of Liverpool, England.
It was super necessary.
God, Eric, my God!
Unbelievable!
How's that look? Oh,
perfect.
Let's get it stationed a little bit better. Aha, got it.
Looking good. How you doing, mate? You okay?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for joining me. It's an honor.
The pleasure's all mine.
So, we are live. So, for anybody tuning in on YouTube at the moment, as always, if you have got any questions you'd like me to ask Jose, please fire them over and I will get them asked. But yeah, Jose Torres, former Brave Bantamweight champion, and hopefully the next Brave Bantamweight champion. Obviously, the fight's just been announced a few days ago, trilogy fight. We will get into that in just a moment. But what's your immediate sort of thought about it at the minute?
I'm happy that I get the rematch, that he was a man of his word. I know we talked immediately after the fight. Hey man, I gave you the rematch, when I believe you didn't deserve so. Brave really wanted it as well. This would be the first trilogy. Let's create history. He's like, yeah, dude, you gave me the rematch, I'll give you the rematch. And then, later on behind the scenes, there's always like, oh, I don't know, I don't want this, that, and always commotion. So, I'm glad the fight's happening. I'm glad I get to go to a different continent in Africa. But I've never been to Africa before, and I'm going to Mauritius again. I'm not the best with geography, so I've never heard of the island. So I was like, oh, it's next to Madagascar. I know that one because of TV. So, I'm excited for that. And, man, I didn't notice how angry I was from the last fight. I've been very fortunate and successful in my career, and I haven't lost much. I haven't lost since 2018, and this loss, it's not that it's personal for me, but I take it personally, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's, business is business. Obviously nothing's on purpose. It's the fight game. You win, you lose. But for me, when I went to this fight, I was very careless and like, I'll be fine. And I was kind of taken as a sparring match. And then out of nowhere, I feel the fight is slowly going towards my way. And then I get cut and I'm like, oh no. Like, my ego's hurt. Oh my gosh. All right, we gotta adapt some sort of way. And I don't, obviously I can't see my face. I just see the blood, and I can't see from this side of the eye. I have to turn my face. I get elbowed, and I'm like, oh man, he finally landed an elbow. Oh my gosh, there's more blood. My ego is broken. So I went into that fight with nothing but ego, and my ego got shattered. So for me, I took maybe about a month off, and so I decided to go, train MMA or at least hit a heavy bag. And man, I gave myself almost a heart attack because I didn't know how much like anger and anxiety I built up from the fight, of like how much I do still care about the sport and all that stuff. So for me, it's already been one of my hardest training camps, and I'm excited to show up and put everything out there.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible, as you mentioned. It's a history making moment for you, for Nkosi, for Brave, when you get to look back at the end of your career, how high will just having that history making moment be for you?
It's cool, man, because again, I've been very fortunate in my career where I've been able to be the first of a lot of things. The first ever IMUF bantamweight champion, the first ever two-time IMUF champion. That's, that at the time never happened before. Then you have Muhammad Mokaev and many others that have gotten successful because of the blueprint I started. Being 33, straight wins before finally losing, making it to the UFC, having, especially being from Chicago, there's not many, fighters from Chicago that make it to the UFC. Now we're slowly starting to, come out, and people are like, oh, Chicago's a, city that has some fighters. And man, especially just me and growing up, first person to go to college, first person to do a lot of things. And now to say that I was the first American to be, I believe, No, not the first American. I lied. I was going to say first American to be Brave, one of Brave's champions, but first American to be the Brave Bantamweight champion, and hopefully the first ever two-time champion. Man, it's phenomenal. Also, to have the first ever trilogy, like that's dude, that's cool. That's I mean, you look at promotions that have been around for years, especially like the UFC. When you see things happen for the first time, and then years later they do callbacks and look back at it, it's like, damn, that's awesome. Like I'm really good friends with Pete Williams, and he knocked out Mark Coleman with the head kick when they still had wrestling shoes on and stuff like that. And his fight made it to the Hall of Fame, and he goes, man, I can't believe it passed so fast. Like it's amazing to look back at that one moment. I've had many moments, but that one moment is like the highlight. I was like, dude, that's awesome. So for this, this is my highlight. Whether win, lose, draw, whatever the case may be, to create history for a promotion in a very, very fast growing promotion is phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned there, obviously you went, 33 and all before you lost, and obviously large part of that you had a really successful amateur career, 12 and all as an amateur. You've spoken in the past about how the benefits of having a long and successful amateur career, and you've likened it to boxing in that sense. Obviously, boxers go through a long amateur career themselves. How important is a long amateur career in your eyes?
So there's pros and cons, and this, I always put out the pros, but I want to, try my best to put out both sides. The pros are, it's your resume. Any job you go to do, you want to have the biggest resume, so your employer goes, man, this guy or female knows what they're doing. They're easily going to be successful in this job. We want them. So for me, going into the UFC at 7-0, going to Titan FC in my pro debut compared to a small local promotion that's slowly taking fights of whatever caliber to get to that, in a sense, if you want to say like semi-pro promotion, that promotion right before you get to the big leagues, and then also being able to be a double weight class champion. Like I had all these opportunities very fast in my career because even though at the time when I fought for my first world championship as a professional at 3-0, or technically I was only 2-0, I won it at 3-0. That's unheard of. You look at Lomachenko was able to do that his second professional fight. He lost, he won it at his third fight. So I'm like, hey, I'm like Lomachenko, And every single fight, when you look at Loma's boxing record, they always talk about how he was, I believe it's 356 and one. And they always mention that, and they show how good he is. Now, the only flaw to it does take time. For me, I wouldn't say the only flaw, but one of the major flaws is it takes time. You got to fight, it's going to take a training camp, it's going to take time, it's going to take injuries, it's going to take all that stuff and a toll on your body. But it's also the sacrifice you need to make to be that much better, because it's all practice. As amateur, I could be 0-30, go pro, and then I win my first one, and all you see is 1-0. It doesn't matter about the amateur career anymore. This is just the resume to get you to this main job, because the professional career is what it really matters. So for me, and maybe my generation's a little bit different, but at least my gym, we just said yes. We're like, what? We're bumping up to lightweight? Oh, damn. Okay, I guess I'm bumping up to lightweight. And I've had fights as an amateur at lightweight, featherweight. I had amateur kickboxing fights at welterweight. Like, and I was at the time a flyweight, naturally a flyweight. I was just like, I guess I'm doing this. And I would win them, because I wasn't scared. Our coach would put us against everybody. So as an amateur, who cares? As long as I'm not gonna die, like I'm good. And obviously we have rules to keep it so. So I think as an amateur, fight as much as possible. It's easily the best thing you can do. A lot of people want this perfect video game record, and I get it, but that's also not life. You need to lose. I lost my very first amateur fight, and Tapology and Sure Dog don't have all of them on there because I started earlier before that really started going into the websites. I was 25-1 as an amateur. I lost my very first match. I lost by a split decision, but because of that loss, I went 25 straight as an amateur, and then 7-0 before I finally lost when I was in the UFC. So it's like, this is if it wasn't for that loss, and I ended up bumping up weight class fighting the champion. The guy was 5-0. I'm 0-0. Never even put on MMA gloves before. I'm like, ah, why not? Let's have some fun. And I lost by split, and then I'm like, damn, I'm not this really good cocky teenager I thought I was. Man, I really need to start actually training, focus, and the losses help you. So for me, I think it's a huge thing. I think being an amateur fighter, whether it's a MMA fighter, boxer, kickboxer, whatever the case may be, if you have the time, if you're young, dude, take the time. Your prime isn't until you're 30, so you have nothing but momentum. But if you're, 29 years old, 28, okay, yeah, we can, kind of skip some tracks and figure some stuff out. But if you're young, and especially for me, I was in school. NCAA here in the States, they don't allow you to receive any type of professional money, so you have to be amateur in any other sport. So for me, I was like, wait, I have a full ride for 5 years to go to school to wrestle. Well, let me use these 5 years, get my degree, and then still compete in MMA as an amateur. And then once I get my degree, I'll go professional. And that's inevitably what I did. It just so happened at the same time while I was wrestling, I was fighting, and I had 26 amateur MMA fights, plus 50 plus in kickboxing and Muay Thai. So I did work. But it was my job and what I expected, but I always had something to fall back on, and that was my education, just in case.
I mean, it's when you describe it like that and how you've done it, it's absolutely the right way to go about it. And obviously, I know it's a little different in the States. Like, as you say, you're not allowed to be professional at it when you're in college and things like that. So, you've obviously had to do it however you could, I suppose, to get to the level where you are now. You've mentioned in the past, obviously, you've done other sports while you were still an amateur, and obviously you wrestled in high school and things like that. Did that make preparing for the IMAFs, did that make that easier? Because obviously you don't know before, it's like the day before you find out who your opponent is. You can't really prepare for your opponent, but does having all that well-rounded knowledge help you in that anyway?
Given my generation, when I started my amateur career at 2010, 2010, I believe the iPhone 3G came out, and it had a camera. So we obviously didn't have videos, and people were still walking around with camcorders or taking selfies with the little, Sony cameras. So for me, we didn't have the ability to look at YouTube to find people's fights. Now, obviously, this generation, you're able to go on YouTube, find almost everything, find everyone's background and all that stuff, Facebook, all that stuff. But back in my day, we didn't have it. And it makes me feel really old saying that. But we didn't have that, like it was, should the count of one, th like 13 years ago. So for me, it's like, you just kind of winged it. You kind of looked at the guy's height, the length, you hear his record, and you're like, all right, what type of style? And especially, again, back when I started, it was still slowly becoming MMA. There was now not just wrestler versus boxer and kickboxer. It was slowly like, okay, he's a boxer wrestler versus maybe Muay Thai jiu-jitsu guy, and so there was styles a little more, complex. I was fortunate enough to be the first kind of well-rounded MMA fighter doing everything, but I wouldn't have learned that if I didn't fight all these different styles and guys. I wasn't like, oh, I can't fight this tall guy, or I can't fight this short guy, or I can't fight this style of fighting because of whatever the case may be. Like, I wanted to fight everything I didn't want to fight because I knew at the end of the day it was going to make me better. Actually, it's the funny thing is that I say that I hired a coach, and I usually don't hire coaches. Like, I'm very, very serious about this fight. I hired a coach because I saw him coaching Lazy Boy when we cornered him at UFC Mexico, and he was making him do things that I know Lazy didn't want to do. And me, I was like, man, this sucks, but it's helping him a lot. I don't want to do this either, so I want to do it. Like, I sparred with Mads Burnell the other day. He's fighting at the PFL lightweight division. No one wants to spar Mads Burnell because he drops everyone in practice with body shots. He's a phenomenal guy. And I'm like, that looks awesome, but in the most painful way ever, I'll do it. And then so I've been doing 3 weeks with him. I don't want to do it every single day I do it, but it makes me better because I know the things I don't want to do are going to make me that much stronger. So the same thing with the fights, all that stuff. And I think the fighting for the IMAF, especially the first 2 years, were still very brand new and not as organized as it definitely is today. They just were like, all right, cool, you're fighting this guy, and you have to make weight every single day, and you're just like, oh man, this sucks, and you don't know these guys. Some of them don't speak your language, so you can't even like talk to their teammates, try to like find out little things. It became very, very difficult. But I think my amateur career, especially going to different styles and kickboxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, all that stuff, and slowly turning into MMA. I'm trying to think. My first year, I fought Romania. He was an average kickboxer. I remember taking him down, choking him out. Then I fought Finland. He was very good at jiu-jitsu with his arm bars, and luckily I just had better wrestling, so I was able to like throw him a couple times and then take the wind out of him and then TKO him on the ground. Then I fought a guy from the UK, He was very long and lanky boxer jiu-jitsu guy, and he actually got me in a triangle. And luckily, I was stronger, and then eventually just out wrestled him. And then in the finals, I faced Ukraine, and he was another jiu-jitsu guy. I was like, oh, let's just keep this in the feet. Every time I take him down, I'm just gonna hold and look at the ref. I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna do anything. Stand this up, and then stand back up, and because he would start pulling guards, so everything changed. And the next year, it was the UK rematch. I beat him more dominantly than I faced, I think, Bulgaria. And he was judoka as well. And I remember us just throwing each other. I was like, oh, it's a battle of the judokas. And then I ended up fighting Conor McGregor was fighting Chad Mendes. So I fought an Irish guy from Northern Ireland. And so he was the whole Conor McGregor thing. I was like, oh man, I'm fighting a karate style. I don't like this. And I had to take him down and out wrestle him and eventually choke him out. And then eventually in the finals, I fought Kazakhstan, the guy, boxer judoka, and we ended up just boxing because we didn't want to throw each other. And I ended up choking him out because of my Muay Thai set up my submission. So all that stuff helped me game plan for everybody, but you have to find that when you're in there, you have to feel it. In the amateur career, you do that. How are you going to know how to cook if you don't know what these certain pans and tools, are for? So you have to get in the kitchen and actually put in some work.
I mean, I love that approach to it. I love that mindset that you've got. I don't want to do this because it's gonna be awful for me, so I'm gonna do it. It's like it's
Well,
unheard
most
of,
of the
but
time
it's brilliant.
it's like studied. It's like studied. It's like, ah, dude, I don't want to do this, but you're gonna learn from it. But you're like, me, anything mental, I hate. I just want to say that, like books, reading, all that stuff, I hate it. But physical, I'm like, man, I really don't want to do this. It's gonna be so beneficial. Let's go do it. It's like it's gonna suck, but let's go have, try our best to be as positive as possible. Because if you do it, even if it doesn't have the outcome that you want, you're still going to be better for doing it. And it's also a mentality thing, getting used to the pain, because that's all this sport is, like physical pain, all that, all that stuff. But you push through, man, and you'll see how strong you really are.
Absolutely. So obviously you've got the Team Shorty Foundation as well, which obviously you do a lot of work with there. Just explain a little bit about the work you do with the foundation.
So I started because I looked back at my family, and I think, and again, it could just be my personal opinion, but I believe between my brother and father and I, that I was the least physically talented out of the bunch. I was just more intelligent when it came to paying attention to certain things and became more successful in the sport. I was always the smallest guy that fought big guys, and by the time puberty finally kicked in, years and years later, I was like, yay, I can finally compete with these guys because I'm up to par, but I'm also smarter than them. I was that small guy trying to catch up. But my brother and father, I think, were naturally physically more talented, and they had the ability. They just never had the opportunity to stay inside of a gym because, again, different eras of growing up, different times of money. They didn't have the opportunity, nor did they have the role models in front of them that they needed to compete. And so they ended up, again, I grew up in a trap house. So they ended up growing up, selling drugs or, being in gangs and doing stuff like that. So I looked at it as, man, I could have easily had that same lifestyle, which I was slowly turning towards, but I found mixed martial arts. I found martial arts in general, and I found positive role models that even if they were OGs, like, oh, old school gangsters that were helping me, they were like, hey, man, I can't do it anymore, but let me tell you why you shouldn't be in the streets like I was and do certain things. I met positive role models to keep me inside the gym. Those people helped motivate me and teach me tools that I have today to where now I am who I am, being able to give back, but also have the talents that I have because of all the skills I learned while growing up inside the gym. So my foundation helps keeps kids, teens, and young adults inside the gym and off the streets. So for example, when I sell t-shirts, 100% of the proceeds go to my foundation. So somebody buys a t-shirt, you're helping, a kid who wants to maybe buy some new boxing gloves, or man, a parent of a mother of four, a single mother of four, has kids and she just needs time to herself, or these kids are super hyperactive and they need a place to let it out. Oh, cool. I know you don't have the money, especially for all four of them. Let me help you. I'll pay for it for 3 months for the kids, and then if you can pay after, then amazing. If not, then we'll hopefully you can figure something out. But I want to be able to sponsor good people. I don't care how talented someone is. I want to sponsor good people because I know they're paying it forward in their own little way.
For you, how grateful are you to to be in a position where you are able to give back and help your community.
Dude, it's not even my community. It's everywhere. I've been able to sponsor kids in the Middle East and India and Peru and just so many different places. I never thought, like, I'm not Dustin Poirier. I don't have that type of reach, nor do I have people working in my foundation. I do this all by myself. Like, I wish I had an ability to find grants and have a foundation really with a team. But I have people who that I see in person, and it might be a little biased, but I have people that I see in person. I'm like, man, who's this kid? Now I'll start asking questions because they're just giving back. They're giving back their time. There's this one kid that at American Top Team just wanted to train with the pros, amateur kid. He was like 0-2 MMA, and he would spar and get beat up bad by like Joanna Young Jacek and Amanda Nunes and all the other like smaller fighters, men smaller fighters. And I'm just like, dude, this kid's getting his ass kicked for free. Like this is horrible. And then he came to practice with me one day, and we're just drilling. And I was like, oh, so what are you doing? I'll take you out to breakfast. He goes, no, I gotta go to school now. I just started college. I was just like, dude, you're doing this for free and you're going to school. Like, that's you're paying it forward. He goes, oh, I just want to learn. I was like, dude, you're not learning anything here. Like, it's just solely my work now. Like, because the coach never was like two-sided. It was just learning for me. So I was like, I'll help you after or whatever. And then eventually I had my foundation started. I go, you know what, man? There's a tournament coming up. It's called IKF, International Kickboxing Federation. I think you're phenomenal. You just never fought amateurs before. But let me sponsor you. I'll pay for the trip. And if you win, it's in Orlando. We'll go to Universal Studios. He's like, dude, that's awesome. This kid goes in there, and his very first fight, he's dominating this guy. The round ends, and he sits down on the stool, and he's like having a panic attack. I was like, what are you doing? He goes, so this guy's gonna like beat me up. He was traumatized from all the like ass kickings he took from the really not pro level guys, but from the world champion pro level people. I was like, dude, this is a whole different caliber. He goes, yeah, I know they're not as fast and they don't hit as hard. I'm just, flashbacks. I'm like, trust me, just keep on going. He ended up winning the tournament and his first ever tournament. And then I took him to the Universal Studios, and that was all foundation money. I was like, this kid never been to Orlando, Florida, never been to Universal Studios, and he never did a tournament, nevertheless won one. And so I was like, dude, that's freaking phenomenal. And he got to learn how, strong mentally he can be. And I was like, dude, because you fought pros and always got your butt kicked, doesn't mean you're bad. You haven't had a transition. You went from nothing to everything. And then there's a kid in Peru I sponsored, and I got him to be on the same card I fought on for Brave when I originally won the title. I told Brave, I was like, I need him on the card. He's a low level pro guy. He's just starting, but he has nothing. I'll sponsor the flight. I'll take care of whatever. And I had him stay with me in Colombia for 2 weeks. I sponsored his flight so he can come in early, and he ended up winning his Brave debut. And his mom called me the next day from like a concrete house, and she's just like crying. She's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. My son's never had such a fun experience or like a big brother. I was like, dude, that's awesome. Like, it's not just people from my neighborhood. The States, we got benefits, man. Even if you're poor, you got benefits. Other countries, you're screwed. So I was just happy that I could help, and my foundation is still building to help a lot more people, and that's kids, teens, and even young adults. We might not have a chance for school and different business opportunities. Fighting might be our only way out. So to be able to give a person a chance to do that, even if they don't make the goal, it's the fact of they're trying. You show some optimism and go, hey, you can be persistent with this. I will give you the opportunity. And plus, they might make it somewhere in the middle to where they're actually happier than they originally thought they were going to be over there. So it's those little steps. So the gym helped save my life, and I'm trying to do that for others.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's incredible. Hats off to you. It's amazing, to be able to do something like that. And you know, you say your reach isn't as big as someone like Dustin Poirier, but you're making a difference, to people, and that's all that matters, I think. So, you know, there's guys out there who are going to look back on their careers, however long or short it is, and you know, you've played a part in that. I think that's amazing.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
So if we just look at your stint in the UFC very quickly, you did have one viral moment, if we say, against Jared Brooks. You know, he's got you on his back, he picks you up and he goes for the slam and he kind of knocks himself out. What's going through your mind when he's got you on his back there?
So I watched this fight. So it's a 9 day notice fight. So I had to lose in pounds. I had to lose about 26 to 28 pounds. I had to lose, what was it, like 12 to 13 kilo, and in 9 days, which sucked. And by the time I made weight, I was just like, oh yeah, I got a fight. I forgot about that. Like, because you're just so focused on, I thought I was gonna die. Like, the weight cut was the most horrible thing I've ever like experienced. And even Jarrett Brooks was like, you made weight? I was like, ha, yeah. Like, I'm surprised too, you know. So I go in there, and which, side note, they told me you're gonna get signed, but if you miss weight, you're cut. I was like, dude, Mackenzie Dern just missed weight by 7 pounds against Amanda Bobby Cooper, and she's still in the UFC. Okay, whatever, you know. I was just like, this is very biased for the flyweights. I fight Jared Brooks, and he, I, the fun fact was, I never fought a shorter person before. Jared is like 2 inches smaller than me. And I was like, wow, this is very just different, you know, especially as a wrestler versus a wrestler. He's smaller than me, so he can shoot in much easier than I can. And so we're going, and I start slow, and he's catching me with, you know, a couple punches. I'm like, ah, whatever. Then he called me with a spinning back fist. I got dropped. I was like, oh damn, I wasn't expecting that. Come back up, and he's taking me down. He's picking me up, you know, bringing me down. Now, I saw his fight against Figueiredo, when he originally fought Davidson Figueiredo back in the day, and that he lost by split decision, which again I thought he won. But Davidson would flail up in the air while Jared Brooks pick him up and take him down. In wrestling, you don't do that. You don't flail up in the air because you're going to get slammed very hard, or when you fall, you're going to fall flat, and there's no momentum to like get back up. You know, like, oh, you kind of just accepted you're going to get taken down. In wrestling, at least in college wrestling here in the States, when somebody picks you up, especially in a double leg, what you do is you wrap your arms around their waist and you try to get your chest to make their back as flat as possible. So they can only do like this. They can't arch, they can't do anything fancy. So all they have to do, or all they can do, is go underneath and go to their side. So from there, it ends up becoming like a 50-50. You still might get, you know, get the position, but I also still might be able to get up and get out because now you're vulnerable. You might have my legs, but I have your waist. So he picked me up a couple times, and I tried doing that, and he would bring me down nice and softly. I'm just kind of like, damn, okay, what if I, you know, I get up here and there. But the last time he picks me up, and I decide to do this, and the dummy tried to slam me. He's like, oh, let me go backwards and, you know, slam shorty on his face, but my face is by his butt. I'm like holding on. And the way he rotated, my thighs fell on top of his head. Now, obviously, that wasn't the plan. My plan was to fall on the side and scramble and get up. But when he hit the floor, I felt his body just like go limp. And I was like, okay. So I immediately just took the back, and I had to do, you know, my job. And that's sadly part of it. You know, it's like as much as I want to be like, ah, you know, let's restart or whatever the case may be, it's like, hey, a W is a W, you know, so it is what it is. You know, it was sad to have my UFC debut be that way, but also kind of funny because it was on ESPN, you know, for like the highlights of the week. But yeah, man. And fun fact, Justin Gaethje actually did the same exact move when Michael Chandler, or Mike Chandler, picked him up. He just ended up getting flipped over, and he landed on his feet. So, fun fact.
Yeah, certainly an unconventional way to win a fight.
Hey, it is what it is. I'll take it.
Win's a win, as you say. So coming back then to Nkosi, obviously last time he managed to get a measure of revenge against you. Not the way obviously you planned it to go on, but have you been able to take lessons from that fight and obviously improve for May 11th?
I mean, the bad thing is, I know the lessons that I've learned originally, and I know what I should have been doing from the jump. The first fight, he would grab me before I grabbed him. So I was like, huh, this is a little different. So I would throw him, I dominate the ground, and I'd be safe there. But and then I noticed how long he was, and I was getting sloppy with my stand-up. So the second fight, I was like, all right, I just gotta improve my stand-up because he's more than likely gonna grab me before I grab him. What he changed was, if I got close, he was doing two things. He was either pushing me away because he knew no matter what, I was better in the clinch, whether it was Muay Thai clinch or trying to take him down, or elbow to get my hands up, and then he can push me away. Because I don't think he ever expected to land the elbow. It was more to just keep me away because dude 6 feet tall, you start swinging elbows. Hey, I'm gonna back up a little bit. And me, I just wasn't expecting it. And I also wasn't taking it too seriously. In my head, I was like, ah, he'll grab me. He'll get tired. He'll grab me. But he kept pushing me and pushing me and pushing me and trying to elbow. And I was like, huh. And his punches to me weren't hard, but then they slowly add up. It's like Pacquiao versus Margarito. Margarito was like, ah, they don't hurt, but his eyes slowly swelling up and closing. And just one shot ended up popping my eye from a punch. And I was just like, oh, this is bad. Okay, this is not good at all. And then, I had to change my position because I couldn't see from this eye. And he was finally able to land a good elbow. And after that, I was like, I can't see whatsoever. And I'm taking like desperate shots. I'm doing, dumb stuff to just survive. And by the end of it, since the doctors didn't stop it, I was like, let me give myself one more minute and go from there. If nothing good happens, then I lost. There's no reason to get knocked out or hurt or whatever the case may be. So I ended up, having to retire in the fight, which is the most. No one wants to do the Roberto Duran, the no mas, and it's like, ah. But for me, I think I've known the lessons because I've had a training camp for him for now 1.5 years, which is ridiculous to say for one guy. But the fact is, I actually have to be an MMA fighter when I go out there. I can't be prideful. I can't be, oh, look at my resume. I can't be, let's have some fun because I respect you, or hey, let's make it a fun, entertaining fight because it's a trilogy or just a fun matchup, or because I enjoy you and enjoy your team, your manager, all that stuff. I need to go, we're cool, but once we get in the cage, I'm Mike Tyson. I'm trying to bite your ear off. I'm trying to, murder everyone. Like that's the mindset I should have. Maybe not as excessive, but you know what I'm trying to say. So the fact is, I think it's always been a me problem. I know what I need to do against him, but I make the fight so much more challenging because it's more fun that way. But then I'm also getting hurt. I'm getting cut, and then my ego is getting beat up. So for me, the next fight, I have to mix it up. I have to be a full-round MMA fighter. I'm not going to just be the wrestler and take him down. He expects that. I have to mix it up. And I have to stand with him to also set up my takedowns. And if it ends up to the ground, better. But if it ends up staying on the feet, then cool. I have to adapt and work from there. But I have to be open with him. I have my coaches and new team here with me. So I'm really, really, really excited for the fight. Got to get there.
Yeah. Obviously before the second fight there was, a lot of talk from Nkosi. He was, saying a lot of things about you being a fake champion and a lot of sort of, seemed like there was some bad blood on his part at least anyway. And I don't think you ever really felt the same way as him. But is there, obviously being in the cage with him twice now and a third time coming up, is there a respect there between the two of you?
Oh, for me, I mean, I don't know about for him. I think every time we've seen each other and communicated, whether it's with him, his team, it's all business, man. Like it we're friends, we're cool, we're acquaintances, whatever you want to call it. It's always respectful. But like the last fight, technically, we cut weight together. We were coincidentally we worked out twice a day, the same time every single day. And we were treadmill together in the sauna together. We would have conversations. We're just like, well, this sucks. So, how have you been? Like, nothing we can do about it. So, when it comes to, and I think something that he did better than I have done, especially the last two fights, is he made it personal when he was in there. He goes, it's not business. I need to, or he goes, it's only business, but I also need to make it personal because it's going to change my life. He's now the first African champion. He, is this in his country and all these other things. So I'm happy for him. But it's also the fact that now I have to let go of all those feelings once I get inside the cage and let the anger out, because I can tell you and I say that as sweetly and as nicely as possible. Like I'm pissed off, and it's not pissed off at him. I'm pissed off at myself. It just so happens that I get to take out my anger on him.
Yeah. You mentioned there, obviously he's now the first African champion in Brave. You're getting the chance to fight in Africa, as you mentioned before, first time. How much are you looking forward to that experience as a whole?
I think it's awesome, kudos to him for doing something for hopefully, I don't know if it completely changed his life, but being able to have something that's, in his legacy of not just beating me, but being the first African champion for Brave. And now because of him, more than likely, Brave is going to Mauritius to have the event. So that's freaking awesome. Kudos to him. But for me, I'm going to a whole different country and I get another chance at redemption. Like when I tell you I'm pissed off, I'm boiling, So being able to go to a whole different country and fight him where I should technically be labeled as the underdog, especially with my past cut probably not as healed, and taking the fight as fast as possible. I want to be the underdog. I want to be quote unquote the little guy. I want to be able to go into his territory, his home country, or his continent at least, and be able to put on a show. I want to do the whole Ali, Foreman thing. I want to do all these things and make it a staple, but for Brave.
Yeah. Speaking of Brave, obviously being involved in the UFC, you were with Titan early in your career. How good have Brave been with you over the last few years since you've been with them?
I mean, Brave has been amazing to me. I look at it from the UFC. I get paid more, I get respected more, I get fight notices, I get promotion, I get publicity, I get interviews, I get like I have so many benefits with Brave compared to the UFC. Titan FC promoted me well enough, and but they were a smaller promotion than UFC. What I'm getting from Brave is what I expected to get in the UFC. Now, if I was champion in the UFC, obviously that's a whole different thing. But I was a flyweight in a division that at the time they were planning on, closing, and shut down. That's why I was one of the first flyweights to be cut. So for me, I'm getting everything I expected to get in UFC and Brave. And again, with a still very, very new promotion compared to most, besides maybe the PFL. It's been pretty damn good, and I'm really happy about it. And PFL, even though their name is new, they were also World Series of Fighting, so they've been around for years. So Brave is easily the newest, biggest promotion, especially in the Middle East, and how they're marketing and bringing everything to different places. That, again, this is gonna be the first time a big event goes in Mauritius. Like that's phenomenal. They're going to places that just people one again. I've never even heard of the island, so being able to go there and be like, yo, this is real. Like, this is awesome, and Brave is giving a lot of those people a chance to shine. Again, you look at Nkosi, you look at, Kubanza, his teammate, you look at all these other guys. Brave is giving a lot of people opportunities. So for me to be able to get all the benefits I do in Brave and so many others as well, Brave's doing a huge thing, and I'm excited to see how far and how fast they grow. Because right now, I think they're at 32 countries. They're going to be at like 31, 32 countries, the most global promotion in the world and the fastest growing promotion in the world. So we'll see how everything goes, especially with all the promotions growing, especially in the Middle East and Saudi, Bahrain, all these other countries. Like, that Brave's going to have good competition. I think they stand strong.
Yeah, absolutely. How good is their approach to making MMA more global?
The cool thing is they go to not just countries, but like, for example, Brazil. If you go to Brazil, you think of São Paulo or Rio de Janeiro. They're going to like parts of towns, not cities, towns that you probably have never heard of. And they're bringing fighters from Rio and São Paulo, but having it at their event, at their arena in the smaller towns. So the local guys can actually get publicity, and the local guys could also enjoy a show instead of having to travel 7 hours, driving to Rio or the other big cities, So they're giving a lot of people a huge opportunity. I look at it as the boxing way. No one knew who Manny Pacquiao was until Pacquiao finally made his US debut, and it's like, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing. No one knew who Triple G was. He was already in his 30s, and he knocked out everyone. And finally make it to the States, and it's like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? Same thing with Lomachenko, same thing with Ricky Hatton, same thing with like any international boxer outside the US that finally came in and made their US debut and became a champion. It is phenomenal. And I think Brave gives that highlight to people where you look at Muhammad Mokaev, you look at Ilia Topuria. They both fought for Brave, and they weren't champions. And look at Ilia Topuria now. You look at Kazma, he wasn't a champion. He's top five in the UFC. So all these fighters in Brave are doing phenomenal things in the UFC, and not just phenomenal things, like they're destroying people. So it also shows the competition level, because you don't know these guys, or because they're not a promotion that you may have heard of, doesn't mean they're not good. That's the scariest thing for me, being the one of the only Americans in Brave, is I have a name. Anyone that fights me is going to get publicity because I promote and Brave promotes me as well. So with Nkosi beating me, that's already a highlight in his career. Even if he loses the next fight, wait, he went three fights with Shorty Torres? That's good for him. That might get him to something else, you know? So for him, I think that's a phenomenal thing. So I think Brave is does a really good job when it comes to promoting their fighters.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we finish up then, I'd just like to ask what advice you would give people who are just starting out in their mixed martial arts careers.
Don't be worried about again, we talked about earlier, like losing. Nothing's perfect. Nothing, no matter what you do, no matter what you try, is perfect. You can get damn well near to perfect, but doesn't mean it's going to be. Can you be undefeated like Muhammad Mokaev? Sure. Can you be, undefeated like Khabib? Sure. But there's going to be times you face a guy and you might lose, but don't be fearful going in there. You should always have that small fear, but that fear keeps you safe, keeps you cautious, keeps you ready. So I think doing stuff that you don't want to do, like we talked about earlier, is definitely going to push you forward. And also just say yes, have fun, try new things. I wasn't good at jiu-jitsu when I first started. Years later, and when I say years, I mean years later, I got my black belt. And I was like, wow, I should have just been doing this from the beginning. But I never wanted to do gi class, and I never wanted to do jiu-jitsu because I was a wrestler. I was always getting choked out. My big old head was always up, you know. So for me, I always wanted to do things later on in my career once I started to learn, like, oh, this is what I've been lacking. Oh, I got to do this more. So I think have fun. Understand there's going to be sacrifices. And no matter whatever setback you have, every great champion, for the most part, except for one or two, have all lost and had their setbacks, and they became champion again. So no matter what, just keep pushing forward, have fun, and you never know until you try.
Yeah, it's excellent advice. Well, look, thank you very much for taking the time out to join me today. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. And best of luck on May 11th and hopefully history making two-time bantamweight champion.
I appreciate it, bro. I appreciate you. It's gonna be fun, man. I'm really, really excited, man. I just appreciate everything. Thank you.
My pleasure, mate. Absolutely.
I love it!
It was super necessary.
Go now.